Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert from Albuquerque, New Mexico.
And this is Steve from Gilbert, Arizona.
And we're in the book of Matthew, the first step in our understanding to understand the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the heavens. And the first thing that everybody must know is that Jesus is the King. And later on, you'll find more information about him. And this is the only gospel of the four gospels that mentions the kingdom of the heavens. All the rest of them is called the kingdom of God. And so when we think about reading this, we're keeping that in mind that Jesus is the King. This is the kingdom of the heavens, and we're told to look up. One place it says in the Bible, look up because your redemption draws near. And we've read about man's looking down and man's coming up in churches and synagogues and so on. Men make up their own rules. And then this one function of washing our hands, which you could, if you have four, five, six maybe instructions on how to wash your hands, the religious dudes of the day, anyway, these religious dudes decided to make about 400 rules up in how to wash your hands. And it's called traditions or commandments. And did you know what? Even in the United States, we have a lot of traditions that came from Queen Elizabeth, that era. And people blindly follow them, and they think, and some of these traditions, they think it's that's morality or whatever, but that's our sense of morality. And then you meet people from Lebanon or Israel or Palestine or Saudi Arabia, Oman, Yemen, or you get down into Egypt or Morocco, where some of my cousins have been, and I've been in these some of these countries, a couple of them, and they have their traditions, and some of theirs may be closer to the Bible than us in the United States. And what do you think about when you think about the Victorian? Is that pretty relaxed or a little bit stiff or?
More on the stiff side.
More on the real stiff side,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
And some of them are actually nonsense, and some are actually might he happened to be right. But the only thing that really decides that is God's decision on it. He's the judge. He's the lawgiver. And so that's why we're reading about this book of Matthew, is to find out God's heart and mind on things. And so this book we'll call, instead of Matthew, Matthew is the one that wrote it down, but God breathed it. And it's about Jesus being the King of this kingdom called the Kingdom of the Heavens. And we read about the tradition of men's, and it even had to do with the washing of hands, which I thought was pretty ironic after reading this book that said they had 400 rules. A little bit of an overkill, but like about 100 times overkill. How about, we'll go on from now. We won't talk about washing hands anymore. I'm kind of tired of that subject. How about 12 through 14, Steve,
okay,
of chapter 15 of Matthew?
Then the disciples came and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this statement?" But he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant shall be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind, and if a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a pit."
What does it say? Ignore them? Leave them alone? Basically saying, forget it. Forget what they said. And they're the religious leaders. I wonder how many churches the Lord is going to say that to.
Probably a lot.
And do you think maybe some of the rules that we have and some of our ideas?
Well, that's the first thing Jesus said was to change your mind, because the kingdom of the heavens is at hand.
So maybe we want to read this some more and make sure we're not making 400 rules for something that maybe is my pet peeve. You know, we don't want our pet peeves in here. And I'm sure we all have pet peeves. So what do you think the chances are that you and I are going to have to change our minds?
A lot. It's an everyday thing. When we read the Bible and we find what God's thoughts are and that ours don't align with those, we're commanded to change our minds. So
I'm going to guess 100% is the chance that we're going to be changing some things, right, Steve? We're going to be changing, and some might be some pretty major things that we think we're really right on. And I'd like to cut it down as I get a little bit older. I'd like to cut it way, way down, especially if they're things that are important to the Lord. And that's what I think about. So Jesus said he wanted to, the people set the standards for who was going to be king. Actually, God just wanted judges. And everybody's afraid of that word judges. And in the old days, we used to have people didn't go to lawyer school. There were no lawyer schools in America. They were called justices of the peace, and they were generally supposed to be. You had your corrupt towns. But they were, these justices of the peace were probably some of the top, most respected people in the town where you lived. And I even grew up in a little town in California. It was a Danish town where the town fathers would get together. And this is kind of a funny story, but there was a judge, and he had a Danish name. All judges end in an E-N. I won't tell you what the first parts were, but he was a son. And I won't disclose who he was, so I won't say the first part of his name, but he was an S-E-N name, which Danish for son. And he was the judge, and the biggest troublemaker in our town was his kid. And as a matter of fact, he was kind of a little bit weird. And he liked to make stink bombs and all this other stuff. And he was always doing something. And they called him JD. Nobody would know, just maybe a handful of people would know any more about who this JD was. I'm not saying his name. But anyway, so the town fathers got together and they overrode Judge Sun. And he cleaned up his act because, you know, he was overseen by the town fathers. But he was kind of the beginning of this new justice system that came in, because they were college graduates. They would become a judge, not by his moral character, but these justices of the peace hopefully were people judged by strong moral character and their love of the people and wanting what's best for the people and to do things right. And now you just go to college and they teach you how to, they even teach you how to skirt around things, how to skirt around the law, how to maybe even lie better than the other person. You know, you can lie by omission. You know, don't say too much because you want your client to win. You don't want justice. You're more into numbers. Oh, I won. Victory, victory, victory. And justice goes out the window. Well, the people picked, God let them pick the first king. They wanted a king. They wanted to change. They didn't want Jesus as king. They wanted a man. They wanted to be like the nations where the man was the king. And so they picked. So God, even though it looks like, if you follow it, it looks like God picked the king, but he didn't. He picked them according to their specifications. And men, they do looks first and stature. And sure, God picked Saul, who was taller and better looking than any other man. And he shined forth, and he was wicked. And David didn't have that stature and so on. And God said what he really wanted for a judge was what?
A man after his own heart.
Has God's mind and God's heart. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So here is the next one. You read 12 through 14. Did you want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, it's just interesting that he says to leave them alone because it requires a lot of energy. He calls them blind guides of the blind. So if you're guiding a bunch of blind people around, that requires a lot of energy, but there's people that want to see and are looking to do that. So I could see why Jesus would say this, because there are people that want to see.
Some people want to correct everything. There are some things, Jesus, in the kingdom of the heavens, you're not going to make the world. You don't go around and be a policeman to everybody. There are some things in this world, I guess, we just leave alone. So we have to ask God, you know, what these things are. What do I need to be concerned about, and what do I just need to walk away from? Mm-hmm. So that takes care of a lot of pressure, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Do you want to do the next one?
Okay. Peter said to him, "Explain the parable to us." Jesus said, "Are you still lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulterers, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man."
I think that pretty much speaks for itself, doesn't it?
It does.
Matthew 15:21-28.
Jesus went away from there and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon. And a Canaanite woman from that region came out and began to cry out, saying, "Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and implored him, saying, "Send her away, because she keeps shouting at us." But he answered and said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and began to bow down before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "O woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed from that hour.
Boy, here again, this to understand the rest of the other gospels, the good news, all of a sudden Jesus is talking about a woman being a dog. And, well, she was not part of Israel. She was a Canaanite. She was not one of the children, of God's children. And he was in Tyre and Sidon. That's about where Lebanon is. It's not in Israel. But what do you think about calling her that, Steve?
How he called her a dog?
Yeah.
It's not a term that we'd use to call people that were looking to come to God, but Jesus says here that he was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So, but she has when she comes to him in 25, she comes down and bows down before him and calls him Lord and to help her.
Well, you know, it's really interesting because the New Testament is coming in. Mm-hmm. And in the New Testament, you know, people could really get offended in this, but if they really understand what's going on here, they used animals to show what is clean and unclean. And there were certain animals that do carry disease. Some animals are trickier to eat, like pigs have trichinosis. And so he showed them how to divide the clean from the unclean animals with the who chew the cud and with the divided hoof. And there are certain fish and sea products, like anything that has scales, you know, fins, or scales, scaly fish covering, you know, versus the one that have a smooth skin, you know, like squid and so on, were unclean. And yes, some of them really cause, you know, are super high in cholesterol, and it can cause gout and so on if you eat too many of them, so on. You could make you sick, but he's not going into that. There were some animals clean and some animals that were unclean, and there were reasons for eating certain food because it was always healthier, or being careful to not eat other food. And but he was not talking about her being a dog. He used the dog because an unclean animal. And I don't want to go any further into this, because there's some things that happen in God's house that you have to be cleansed before you can eat them, you know, like communion. Mm-hmm. And God had people draw away from the world to take communion. And it wasn't necessarily calling her a dog, but it could surely sound like it. And later on, in the New Testament times, Jesus opened up salvation to every man, whatever race, whatever country they came from, and so on. As a matter of fact, that even happened in the Old Testament time. They could come in. If the males were circumcised, there was a way for them to come into God's house, and they could become clean. A foreigner could come in, and if they obeyed certain things, they would become part of Israel. Mm-hmm. But some people have unclean practices, and some people worship foreign gods. They even sacrifice their children to gods. And without getting into all these details, why he said this way, some people do some very wicked things, sacrificing your kids. They used to put them on this one metal, and they'd heat up this one molten statue, or this statue. They'd heat up his hands to red hot and then put their babies in his hands, and so on. And so God didn't want any of that in Israel, and that's really what it was pointing at, is some of their practices. They were acting like a bunch of dogs. Mm-hmm. And that's what he was telling her, but he could see her faith. And Jesus said to her, "O woman, thy faith is great. It shall be done unto you as you wish." And her daughter was healed at once. So she overcame that with her faith. She overcame that barrier, and she proved through her faith, it says, actually, our faith makes us righteous. So she had enough faith. She no longer acted like her ancestors or the people in her village or her her people that she was around. She no longer acted like a dog, which can sometimes eat their own. Mm. And she had faith, and it says, by our faith, we're made righteous. So he's beginning to show the cleansing of other nations to become one of Israel. And it had not to do with their skin color or their genetic makeup. It had to do with their faith.
Yeah.
Hmm. And they're coming out of the burden of the, here's this law back here, because remember, this starts with 15 with the law, and 400, maybe by this time they're up to, maybe they're not quite 400. Maybe this is 1,500 years before. Maybe they only had 300 rules for washing their hands by this time.
Yeah.
And that's the 1,500s. They had up to 400 rules how to wash your hands.
They just keep adding to it.
Yeah. Okay, healing the crowds. This is Matthew 15:29-31.
Okay. Departing from there, Jesus went along by the Sea of Galilee, and having gone up on the mountain, he was sitting there, and large crowds came to him, bringing with them those who were lame, crippled, blind, mute, and many others, and they laid them down at his feet, and he healed them. So the crowd marveled as they saw the mute speaking, the crippled restored, and the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel.
And then 32 through 39, again, he's going to feed, now instead of 5,000, now he's going to feed 4,000. We'll just find out how much each got to eat, yet they were full.
And Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I feel compassion for the people because they have remained with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry, for they might faint on the way. The disciples said to him, where would you get so many loaves in this desolate place to satisfy such a large crowd? And Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, seven and a few small fish. And he directed the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the seven loaves and the fish, and giving thanks, he broke them and started giving them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. And they all ate and were satisfied, and they picked up what was left over from the broken pieces, seven large baskets full. And those who ate were 4,000 men, besides women and children. And sending away the crowds, Jesus got into the boat and came to the region of Magadan.
Well, wow, now they've got an overabundance. They almost have two loaves for 1,000 people. Instead of one loaf feeding
1,000,
now it's about one loaf feeding about 400. It's not quite, I don't think it's quite 500, but let's say 400, one loaf.
Yeah, and they all ate and were satisfied. So it wasn't like they left satisfied.
This might be the way we eat in the last days. This might be the nourishment. They were gone 3 days and they were hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord might expand our food. We're going to get into a real interesting scripture here coming up. I think we ought to go ahead on into this. I'll go ahead and read 1-4. And this is Matthew chapter 16. The Pharisees and the Sadducees came up and testing Jesus. Here come the religious guys in here. So lawyers and Sadducees and Pharisees like to find a sign of weakness. So they start asking questions. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees came up testing Jesus, and they asked him to show them a sign from heaven. But he replied to them, "What it is evening, you say, it is fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, there will be a storm, for the sky is red." And threatening, do you know how to discern the appearance of the sky, but cannot discern the signs of the times? An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and a sign will not be given it, except the sign of Jonah. And he left them and went away. And the next context, and the disciples came to the other side of the sea, but they had forgotten to bring any bread. And Jesus said to them, "Watch out and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." And they began to discuss among themselves, saying, "He said that because we did not bring any bread." But Jesus, aware of this, said, "You men of little faith, why do you discuss among yourselves that you have no bread? Do you not understand and remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000? And how many baskets full you picked up, and the 7 loaves and the 4,000, and how many large baskets full you picked up? How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees?" Then they understood that he did not say, "Beware of the leaven of the bread," but the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. So what does this tell us? What leavening really is, right?
Right.
And what is it?
It says it's the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees.
Yeah, it's all their ideas. It's something that if you eat it and you have candidas, it's going to grow in your belly and expand and you're going to get gas. It's full of leavening. It's full of yeast. And it'll multiply. It'll continue to multiply. And it's a bunch of hot air. And go back to 16:1. The Pharisees and the Sadducees came up testing Jesus that they might ask him to show them a sign from heaven. And so they're always trying all these different things because they're called blind guides. Can the blind lead the blind? Aren't they going to both fall into the ditch?
Mm-hmm.
They're full of untruth, and leavening is untruth. It's things that man adds that'll keep expanding if you want to just believe in them. And they always were going contrary to the Lord, weren't they?
Right. Well, it's getting it backwards. Like instead of focusing on the inside, there'd be focus on the outside.
And Jesus is bringing to them the kingdom of the heavens, and they're stuck back on earth on a bunch of junk that'll bloat you up, that'll mm-hmm. fill you with bloat, and it won't necessarily... there's no nutrition that I know of in leavening. It just puffs up bread. It brings a lot of air pockets into bread.
Mm-hmm.
And some people, they're allergic to it. And I think we're all allergic to leaven. You know, not good French bread from San Francisco, but this leavening is the doctrine of the Pharisees. It's the untruth. It's based like how to wash your hands 400 times. It's a lot of air in there, isn't it? You could mm-hmm. do it with four steps, and now you're doing it 100 times more.
Mm-hmm. So this would go along with that scripture that Jesus brought up about the kingdom, the parable of the kingdom of the heavens,
uh-huh.
where it was in Matthew 13:33, he spoke another parable to them. The kingdom of the heavens is like leaven, or in this case, the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees, that which a woman took and hid in three pecks of flour until it was all leavened. It's like you were saying, it could spread.
A woman being mystery. This woman mm-hmm. is boisterous. And in Proverbs?
Proverbs 7?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
What, read that really quickly, okay. would you? That's a yep. great proverb. Steve was talking to me about it this morning, and... But we found out earlier on today, or was it yesterday, that this woman is loud. And it's not talking about a woman. It's talking about mystery. It's talking about a religious group of people that are loud. And don't pay attention to the gender thing. We're not talking about that. It is a doctrine, and it's just called a woman. And Jesus said to her, "O woman, your faith has made you great." That is a woman. But this is a doctrine, this woman, and she's loud and boisterous, and it's talking about untruth. Go ahead.
This is in Proverbs 7:10-11. "And behold, a woman comes to meet him, dressed as a harlot and cunning of heart. She is boisterous and rebellious, and her feet do not remain at home."
And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com, or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together, and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible, because it is written, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."